Okay, good morning. Today's daf is Yuma daf Ayin Zayin. The rabbi left off toward the bottom of Ayin Vav Amud Beis yesterday. We're actually going to backtrack a little bit from where the rabbi got up to yesterday. We're going to start from the first wide line. So today's daf is Amud Aleph is going to be a lot of Agadata. It says the rabbi introduced yesterday about how the Malach of Gavriel was kicked out of the Beis in Shalmaila and was able to re-enter the Beis in Shalmaila only on account of something having to do with Daniel. So we're going to talk a lot about that. It's a lot of words to read on a fast day when we're not able to drink, but whatever, we'll push through. Toward the bottom of Amud Aleph and then onto Amud Amud Beis, we're going to talk again about the Chamei Shinuyim. We're going to talk about whether it's possible, if you have to go someplace on Yom Kippur, whether it's possible to wade through a little bit of water in order to get to where you're going, what exactly you're doing there, how much water you're allowed to wade through, what the circumstances are, and so on and so forth. So the first part is going to be Agadata about Gavriel. The second part is going to be back to the Chamesh Inuyim. And today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children. We thank him very much for the continued sponsorship. And it's also sponsored on behalf of dailygiving.org. Join Rabbi Leibowitz and me and over 6,000 people in 30 countries who can get together very easily and perform the mitzvah of tzedakah. The achdus of the organization is incredible. You can join easily by going to www.dailygiving.org. So with that, let's pick up the first wide line toward the bottom of Ayin Vav Amud Beis. So the Gemara says, "Mai v'ani basi bidvarecha." So what does it mean, Vani Basi Bidvarecha? This is Gavriel speaking, saying that he came back. He came back into the Beis in Shalmala Bidvarecha because of Daniel. So Hainu Dechsiv, this is what it means when it says, Vishivim Ish Mizikne Beis Israel. There were 70 men from the Zikne Beis Israel, Viyazinanu Ben Shafan Omed Bitocham, Omdim Lufneim, Vish Mikhtaraso Biyado, and each one was holding a little bit of Ketores in his hand. Vatar Anan Aktores Ole, and the thick cloud of Ketores was ascending upwards. Vayishlach Tavnes Yad, Vikacheni Bitsitsis Roshi, and the hand was extended and grabbed me by the lock of my hair. Vatiso Siruach Bein Aretz Bein Hashemayim, and he was somehow cast between the heaven and the earth. Whatever that means, Vatovo si Yerushalayma b'maros Elokim el Pesach Shar HaPnimis, and he went somehow to Yerushalayim, to the door of the inner gate, Haponetzfona, which is facing north. Asher, flipping over to Ayin Zayin and Aleph, Asher Sham Mushav Samal Hakina Hamakane, and there was seated the image of jealousy, of provocative provocation. So that's some sort of lofty image that Gavriel is describing over here when he was cast somewhere between the heaven and the earth. And it says, "Vayavo osi el chatzar beis Hashem apnimis," and I was brought and I came to the chatzar beis Hashem apnimis, in the inner courtyard. "Vinei pesach heichal Hashem bein ulam bein mizbeach," and the pesach of the heichal between the ulam and the mizbeach, "ke esrim v'chamisa ish," there were about 25 people. "Achareim el heichal," their backs were facing the heichal, "upneim kedma," and their faces were facing east. "So vehema mishtachvim kedma lashamesh," and they were bowing east toward the rising sun. So the Gemara interrupts this vision, whatever is being described to us, with a question. So it says, "Mimashma shenemar upneim kedma," from the fact that it says that they were facing east, "Eni yodea shachareim el heichal," don't I know that their backs were toward the heichal, because the heichal was to the west. So of course, if they were facing east, then their backs were going to be towards the west, towards the heichal. So elam atam alomar achareim el heichal. So what does it mean when it says achareim el heichal? Is something much more sinister. So malameh shayu porinatzvan vayu matrizin klape mata, that they were actually exposing themselves and they were defecating klape mata. Klape mata here really means klape mila. The Gemara says klape mata, though, in order to give more respect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because it's a very big bezoyin, obviously, that they were standing and they were exposing themselves and they were defecating towards the heichal. So, in the middle of all this, whatever's going on here, Samalu HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Michael, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Michael, "Michael, sarcha umascha." Michael, your nation has sinned, because Michael was the Tsar Shel Yisrael, so says the Maharsha, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Michael that the Klal Yisrael has sinned. The Ben Yoyada says that Klal Yisrael have this Tsar, have this Malach, that watches over them only when they're not doing the will of God. Because the Gemara tells us in many places throughout Shas that when they are doing the will of God, then the Bnei Yisrael don't require mazel. There is no mazel for the Bnei Yisrael, so it's only when they're not doing the will of God, that's when they require this divine assistance somehow, or this intermediary. And so Michal is the Sar of Yisrael, and so HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Michal, Michal, your nation is sinning, So Amar Lafan of Ribono Shel Olam, Dayi L'Tovim Shebehem. So Michal says, okay, but leave the good ones among them. What are you going to do with them? So Amar Lo, so says HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Michal, Ani Sorei Fasam L'Tovim Shebehem. Nope, I'm going to burn them, and I'm going to burn the good people among the Jewish people. Says the Tosfos Yeshanim, what did the good people do? Why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu going to punish the good people? Tosfos Yeshanim says it's because they should have protested the behavior, and they didn't protest. Over here you have members of the Bnei Yisrael who were making the ultimate disrespectful demonstration toward HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Gedolim of the generation didn't prevent them from doing so. So therefore they were similarly culpable in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's eyes. So Miyad, Vayomer Ish Levush Abadim, that the Ish Levush Abadim said, and that's a reference to Gavriel, Vayomer Bo El Beinos La Gilgal, let's go between the Gilgal, El Tachas La Kruv, in between, underneath the Kruvim, Umelachofna of Gafle Ish, and in there, he's holding palmfuls of fiery coals, Mibenos Lekruvim Vizorek Eleir, and let's throw it on Yerushalayim. And the Zrikas Gacheles on the city, is a very big Dafyomi coincidence, is a remez to the Churban Beis HaMikdash. So here in Shavuot Sefer Tammuz, we're talking about a reference here to the Churban Beis HaMikdash, obviously when the events that led to the Churban really began in earnest in the beginning of the 3 weeks here. So Gavriel is suggesting, let's go to between the Kruvim where this pile of fiery coals is, and let's throw coals onto Yerushalayim. So Vayovo Le'enei, Lene miyad, vayishlach hakruv el yado mibenes lakruvim el aish asher benes hakruvim. So what Gavriel said, so we have to pay attention to what Gavriel said. What Gavriel said was, let's go to between the kruvim where the pile of fiery coals is. Let's take coals and let's throw it onto Yerushalayim. So that's what Gavriel said he was going to do. What he actually did was that he came vayishlach hakruv es yado mibenes lakruvim, that the kruv stuck out its hand kaviyachol with the coals, Elo Esha Sherbena Sakrubim, Vayisa Vayitain El Chafne Levush Habadim, and he put the coals into the cupped hands of Gavriel, Vayikach Vayetse. And then Gavriel went out and went on his way. So whereas Gavriel said he was going to take the coals himself, there was actually a transfer of coals from the Kruvim to Daniel, and we know that when you transfer something that's hot, it actually cools down a little bit. So what happened was Gavriel said he was going to take the coals, yet the Kruv handed the coals to Daniel, to Gavriel rather. So Amar Rav Chana Bar Bizna, Amar Rav Shimon Chasidol, Molilon Etztanenu Gecholim Miyado Shel Kruv Liyado Shel Gavriel, were it not for the fact that the coals cooled off a little bit in the transfer, when the Kruv transferred the coals to Gavriel, Lonishtairim Misanam Shel Yisrael, sorry to Palit. And there would be nobody left of Klal Yisrael because the destruction would have been too great to imagine. V'chsiv, and it says, Vihine Ho'ish Levush Habadim, and the Levush Habadim, this is Gavriel, Asher he cast b'mosnav, that with slate upon his loins, so Meshev Davar Lemar Asisi Kasher Tzivisani, that he says, oh, I've done what you commanded. So at that time, because Gavriel claimed that he did exactly what he said he was going to do, but he didn't, because again, he said he was going to take the coals himself and destroy Yerushalayim by throwing the coals on them, but he allowed for a heat transfer, because instead of grabbing the coals himself, he actually let the Kruv hand him the coals. So at that point, Gavriel was booted out from Machorei Apargod, from the Makom Hashchina, Umachyu Shisim Pulsei Denura, and he was given Malkus with 60 fiery lashes. So why 60 fiery lashes? So there's 60, the Eitz Yosef explains, because we always give Malkus in a number that's divisible by 3. That's why even though the Torah says Arbaim Yakenu, 40 doesn't really mean 40 in the Torah when it talks about Malkus, really it's 39 Malkus, because 39 divided by 3 is 13, and 60 divided by 3 is 20. So what's the significance of 20? So says the Eitz Yosef that we know that a person becomes a Bar Onshin Legabe Averos when he's 20 years old. And therefore, in order to signify that Gavriel was worthy of punishment and a person becomes a Baron Shem when he's 20, 20 times 3 is 60. Again, because you need a number of Malkus that's divisible by 3. So Gavriel didn't do what he said he was going to do. He didn't listen. And therefore, he got these Malkus. So Amrulei, so they said to him, Lo avadet, lo avadet, yavadet, amai lo avadet kipiktonech. In other words, nobody told you to go do what you said you were going to do. You said you were going to go take the Gechalim and you were going to throw them on Yerushalayim. So if you didn't have to say anything, but now that you said something, why didn't you do exactly what you said you were going to do? So the Ode, the Avdit Leslach, Eme Shivan Ala Klala. And so basically, why did you do what you did? So Isinulu Dubiel Sara de Parsoi. So they brought another Malach. They brought the Malach Dubiel, who is the Tsar of the Parsiim of the Persians. V'ukma b'charike, and they appointed Dubiel in Gavriel's place. V'shamash esrim v'echad yom, and he was in power for 21 days. And hayne d'chsiv, and this is what it says, v'sar malchus paras omid l'negdi esrim v'echad yom. And the sar of paras was in control for 21 days. V'ine michal echad asarim arishonim. Bolaz Reini, and Michal, one of the original Sarim, came to help me. Vani notarti sham etzal malachei paras, and I remained there by the malachei paras. So Yovule esrim v'chad malke, they gave to Dubiel 21 kingdoms, uparvasa de Mashig, and the port of Mashig, because now he was appointed into this position of power. So Amar, Ksivali li Yisrael ba'acharga. So he said, I want you to tax the Jewish people. So Kosfile, so they wrote it to him, Ksivili Rabbanan ba'acharga. I want to tax even the rabbis. So Kosfile, so they also wrote that the rabbis should be included in the tax. So Be'idnu Deboy Lemichtam, at the time when he was about to sign this decree into effect, saying that the Jewish people and the Chachamim and the Jewish people had to pay taxes to Dubiel Sar Paras, some Gavriel Me'achore Apargod, so Gavriel stood up from Me'achore Apargod, V'yomar, Shavlochem Mashkime Kum Me'achre Sheves, is it in vain those who get up early and those who stay up late? Ochle lechem ha'at sevim, those who eat, the meager bread, kein yitain liyedido shena. So, ma kein yitain liyedido shena. So, what does this mean? So, Amar Rav Yitzchak, elu nishaseim, shal tamidei chachamim, these are the wives of the tamidei chachamim, because the first part of the pasuk is talking about the tamidei chachamim, those who get up early, those who stay late, those who don't take advantage of all of the luxuries in Olam Hazeh because they're busy learning Torah. But then it says Liyedido Shena, and what does that mean? That's a reference to the wives of the Talmidei Chachamim, Sheminadados Shena ba'Olam Hazeh, that they refrain from sleeping in Olam Hazeh, they withhold sleep from themselves in Olam Hazeh, V'zocha l'Olam Haba, and because of that, there's zochos to Olam Haba. And Rashi points out that even though the Pasuk speaks of the Neshei Talmidei Chachamim as those who are Menad Doshena, as those who don't sleep, obviously the Talmidei Chachamim themselves don't sleep, but the beginning of the Pasuk already spoke about the Talmidei Chachamim and how great they are and why they're worthy of not having this terrible decree befall them, and therefore the end of the Pasuk is speaking specifically about the wives of the Talmidei Chachamim. The Loish Kichu Alav. Yet, they didn't listen to Gavriel. Gavriel was saying, how could you make this happen? These people are so great. They refrain from worldly pleasure. They get up early. They stay up late. Their wives, they sacrifice. Nobody listened to him. So he said, Rabbonu Shalom, im yu kol chachmei umas ha'olam b'kaf maznayim. If all of the chachmei umas ha'olam were sitting on one part of the scale, on one side of the scale, V'Daniel ish chamudos bekaf shnia, and Daniel ish chamudos was on the second part of the scale, on the second side of the scale. Lo nimtzu machrias kulam. Wouldn't he outweigh the greatness and the genius of all of the chachmei umos olam? So Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, mi uzeh shemelamed tzchus al bni. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, who is this who's being melamed tzchus on Daniel ish chamudos? Because remember, Gavriel was kicked out me'achorei apargod, so he wasn't in the mechitza of the Shechina. So the Shechina said, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, who is this who's being melamed tzchus? So Amar Lefan of Ribbono Shel Olam Gavriel, it's Gavriel. So Amar Lehem, Yavo. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Gavriel, you should enter. Shenemar v'ani basi bidvarecha. And that's what it means when Gavriel says that I came, in other words, I returned to the pargod, I returned to the Makam HaShechina bidvarecha because of Daniel. It was because of this Maisa when he was kicked out and he only came back in because he invoked the name of Daniel and the schus of Daniel. That's when he was able to return to the pargod, to the mechitza of the Shechina. So Amar Lahu, so they said to him, Leil. So they said to Gavriel, enter. So Ailu, so they say he entered. So Aska Ashkelu Dubiel, the Nakatle Li Garta Biyadei, that they saw Dubiel who had this letter in his hand, and the letter was going to assess a tax on the Jewish people, even including on the Talmidei Chachamim in the Jewish people. So boy lemirma minei, that they wanted to grab the letter from Dubiel, Sabala, so he swallowed it. Some say that the letter was written but not yet signed. Then others say that no, it was signed, but the problem is that when Dubiel swallowed the letter, the signature that was needed in order to make the decree go into effect was erased, and therefore the decree was never imposed. So and that's why in Persia there are some Jewish people who pay tax and some Jewish people who don't pay tax. How could it be that they don't pay tax if there's a decree? The answer is the decree was not set, either because it was never signed or it was signed initially, but then ultimately the signature was wiped out when Dubiel swallowed this letter. And then the ministering angel of Greece approaches, and Gavriel cried out over this as well, trying to save the Jewish people from the ministering angel of Greece, of Yavon, the same way he tried to save them, the same way he did save them from the ministering angel of Paras, but nobody was able to listen to Gavriel, and that's why ultimately the Yavonim were successful in ultimately destroying the Beis HaMikdash. So that is pretty much it for the Agadah. So now the Gemara is going to continue on in discussing the Chamesh Inuyim on Yom Kippur. So again, we have been speaking yesterday about somehow we got into this whole Agadah, but we were speaking yesterday about the other Inuyim. We already covered Achila and Shtiyah, we covered Chatzi Shir, that was already last week. We were talking about Rechitza and Sicha, and how do we know that Rechitza is Asur, is it Doma L'Sicha, is it Doma L'Shtiyah? That's what we were talking about yesterday. So says the Gemara now at the two dots. V'ibaseima, Rechitza dikri inu minalan. How do we know that rechitza is called an inui? Me'acha, it's from the following. Dechsiv, v'lev yasar ha-kohen, omer ha-melech, anasos lecha al sadecha, ki ish maves ato, v'yom hazeh lo amitcha, ki nasasas es aron Hashem, lifnei David avi, v'chi his anis v'chol asher his ane avi. And you afflicted yourself with everything that my father David afflicted himself with. David, and it says by David, ki amru ha'am ra'av v'ayef v'tzama b'midbar, and it says about David that the Jewish people were hungry, they were tired, and they were thirsty in the desert. So ra'av milechem v'tzama l'mayim, ayef mimai, what does it mean that they were tired? Salav me'rechitza, doesn't it mean that they were tired from rechitza? So we had been trying to find yesterday a makar, a source for the inoy of rechitza, and we were trying to learn it either from sicha or from shtia. So the Gemara is now saying, no, we have an apostolic that the lashon of inoy is said legabe rechitza. So maybe this is our source that rechitza is called an inoy. So says the Gemara, how do you know that this is a reference to rechitza? The dilma minilas hasandal. Maybe inoy here is a reference to minilas hasandal, that they were refraining from wearing leather shoes. So Elam Rav Yitzchak Mehacha, Mayim Karim Al Nefesh Ayefa, that cold water comes on a tired soul. Vidilma Mishtia, so maybe that's also not a reference to Rechitza. Maybe it's a reference to shtia. So michsev benefesh ayefa. Does it say benefesh ayefa in a nefesh ayefa? When you drink, the water obviously goes inside of you. Al nefesh ayefa ksev. It says al nefesh ayefa, and therefore the inoy that we're talking about here is something that comes on the body. What comes on the body? That's the water when you engage in rechitza. So that is the inoy that we're talking about. The inoy that we're talking about when it says al nefesh ayefa is talking about rechitza. So that's our makor for rechitza. Now, next, nilas asandal minala. Now, how do we know that nilas asandal is called an inoy? Tchsiv v'David ola b'mala azesim ola abocha v'rosh lo chafui yachaf. And v'holech yachaf, his head was disheveled, and he was walking in a bare way. So yachaf mimai, what was he bare from? Lav minilas asandal, and wasn't he bare in that he wasn't wearing any shoes? And it's describing David being in mourning, and therefore, if he wasn't wearing shoes, that's a sign of inui. Lav minilas asandal. So says the Gemara, v'dilma misusia umar taka. Maybe he was bare from a horse and whip, meaning he was walking and he was wearing shoes, but he was complaining that he didn't have his horse. Tell him Rav Nachman v'Yitzchok mehacha lechu betachta asak me'al masnecha. Go and take the sack off of your loins, v'nalcha off of your waist, v'nalcha tachlos me'al raglecha, and remove your shoes from your feet. Uchziv v'yas kein holoch orum, that he went naked, v'yachaf, and he was bare. So yachaf mimai. So again, so the Gemara says, what was he bare from? Lav minilas asandal doesn't mean that he was bare from nilas asandal, that he wasn't wearing shoes. Ve'ema bin olim amunut olim. Maybe it means that he was wearing patched shoes. Dilote ma'achi, because if you want to say that he wasn't wearing any shoes at all, so the rest of the pasuk says that he was walking around naked. So is that really possible? So ilote ma'achi aram mamish. Are you going to say that he was walking around naked mamish? Ela be'begadim bluyim. No, what it means is he was walking around in tattered clothing. Hachanami bin olim hamitulaim. Maybe over here it doesn't mean that he wasn't wearing any shoes altogether. It means that he was wearing only patched up shoes. No, we have it from the following pasuk. Mine ragleif miyachaf. Refrain your legs from yachaf. Vegaroncha mitzama. So mine atzmacha minachet. Prevent yourself from sinning. Kadesh lo yovar raglecha lide yichof. So that your feet don't come to yichuf, your feet don't come to being bare. Mini lishoncha midvarim betelim, refrain from speaking dvarim betelim, kadesh lo yova groncha lidei tzama, so that your throat doesn't come to thirst. So over here, again, we're saying don't engage in sin, so that you don't have to walk around barefoot. And from this compilation of sources, we see that nilas asandal is also an inui. So Tashma Shamita Dikri Inu Min Olan. Now the Gemara moves on to the last Inu of Tashma Shamita. How do we know that that's called an Inu? Tiksiv Imtane Es Benosai V'mtikach Noshim Li. That it says Imtane Es Benosai. And that is a reference to sexual relations. And so from here we see that marital relations is an inui. So imtane mitashmish. It says imtane, that means from tashmish. Flipping over to ayin zayin amud beis. So imtane mitashmish v'imtikach mitzaros. And imtikach is a reference to co-wives. Vema idividi mitzaros. Maybe they're both a reference to co-wives, but neither of them is a reference to abstention from tashmish. So miksev imtikach, it doesn't say imtikach. It says v'imtikach, which is mashma that the pasuk is talking about two things. Imtanes benosai means one thing. V'imtikach noshem, and if you take saros, is talking about another thing. So if the second part of the pasuk is talking about saros, the first part is obviously talking about something else. And the Gemara says that it's talking about the total abstention from tashmish. So v'ema idividi meitzaros. And maybe they're both talking about Soros. Chadlet Soros Didei v'chadlet Soros Daisen Lema Alma. One is his own co-wives. The other is co-wives who potentially come from elsewhere, generally. So Dumya Demtikach. No, it has to be Imtikach. Miksev Imtikach Vimtane Imtane Imtikach Siv. It says Imtane Imtikach, which is mashma that Imtane is even worse then imtikach, and therefore what we'll learn is if imtikach means don't take any co-wives, Imtana has to be something that's even worse than taking co-wives. What's worse than taking co-wives? Not having any marital relations at all. That's how we know that Tashmish is called an Inui. So Amar Le Rav Papa La Abaye. So says Rav Papa Tabaye, you don't need this fancy drasha. Ha Tashmish Gufak Re'inui. Tashmish itself is called an Inui. You don't need to back into the fact that it's talking about Soros and the reference to something else in the Pasuk because it's already talking about Soros has to do with Tashmish. Just learn it directly. It says, Vayishka Vosa Vayanea. That it says, Vayishka Vosa Vayanea. So it says Vayishka Vosa Vayanea, and over here it's a reference obviously to Shechiva, it's a reference obviously to marital relations, yet it's called an Inui. So says the Gemara, so Amar Lei, Hosam Sheina Mevia Amar Lei Hosam Sheina Mevia Sacheros. That over there it's talking about maybe not that the initial act of Tashmish was an Inui, that he was Ma'aner from Bios Acheros. So maybe there is no Raya from this Pasuk that Inui means Tashmish. All right. So Tan Rabbanan. Asar lirchotz mikzas gufa kakol gufa. Now we're going to go back to the Isra of Rechitza, to the Inu of Rechitza. So it's asar to wash your part of your body, just like it's asar to wash your entire body. However, if, however, you were filthy, if you were muddy, let's say, if you had a bunch of dirt on you, then rochetz kedarko. Then you're allowed to be rochetz kedarko. So this we already saw in the beginning of the perek, when we started the perek a couple of days ago on Wednesday, Tosfos over here, the Tosfos Yeshanim brings a raya that the other inuyim besides for achila and shtia are only asur midrabanan. Why? Because if there were asur midaraisa, how could it be they were going to make all these exceptions that something is asur midaraisa? But if you're dirty, then you're allowed to bathe a little bit, and if you're pregnant, then you're allowed to wear sandals, and if you're a kala, then you're allowed to wash your hands. So again, Tosfos over here says here's a raya that these inuyim besides achila and shtia are actually midaraisa. We saw the Ramban argued and said that all of the inuyim are actually daraisa. But in any event, there is an exception. Whether you hold that the other inuyim are daraisa or a drabanan, there are exceptions to the inuy of rechitza. If a person is meluchlach betit of itzoa, if a person is very very dirty, then they're allowed to wash off the dirt. Veina choshesh. And you don't have to be choshesh. So also lasuch mikzas gufa kakol gufo. So too by sicha, by anointing oneself with an oil or a lotion, it's usher to do it to part of your body, just like it's usher to do it to your entire body. But if you were sick, or if you had some sort of skin condition on your head, then sach kedarko veina choshesh. Then again, you're allowed to be sach kedarko, and you don't have to be choshesh. It's okay. It's okay to do that. And the Rit from the Ran hold that Sicha is mutter only by a chola, but otherwise a Sicha, even if it's not Shaltanug, is going to be Usr, because we see over here in the Gemara that it's only on account of a chola. It's only on account of a chola or somebody has Chatatim Barosho who's allowed to be Sach at all. Says the Gemara now, first wide line, Tana de Bay Menashe, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Madicha isha yada achas b'mayim, that a woman is allowed to pass one of her hands underneath water, is allowed to stick one of her hands in water before she touches bread. This is to give to her child. Now, why would she have to stick her hand into water before she touches the bread? And the answer is because she has to get rid of the ruach tuma that's on her hand. That's why we wash nigel vasser in the morning. So that's why the woman would rinse her hand with water. Then v'nosenes pas latinok, and then she would give bread to the tinok. V'no choshesh, and she doesn't have to be choshesh. So Amru Olav al Shama Yazaken, Shla Rotsa Lahachla Biyado Achas, that he didn't want to feed a child with one hand. Because we're Olav Lahachla B'shtei Yados. And therefore they were Gozer, oh, you don't want to do it with one hand? You think you're outsmarting us? We're going to make a Gzera. You have to feed your kids with both hands. So my taima, Amar Abaya, why are you allowed to wash your hands at all here? So Amar Abaya, Mishum Shifta, because of Shifta, and this is Rashi explains, this is the Ruach Tuma that exists on the hands of a person before you wash your hands. And this is again, as we said, why you wash Nagel Vasser in the morning. And Rabbeinu Tam over here in Tosfa says, so first he brings Rashi. He says, Perish Rashi, Ruach Ra, Hashora Ala Yadayim, Shalom Natalan Shachris. It's a Ruach Ra that is on your hands before you wash Natilas Yadayim. Rabbeinu Tam Mefaresh, Tebelo Nesinas Pas Latinok Mutar Lital Yadav Shachris B'Yom HaKippurim, that even without giving bread to a Tinok, you're allowed to wash your hands, Negel Vasar on Yom Kippur. The Logara, because we already said a couple of lines earlier in the Gemara that if you're dirty, then you're allowed to bathe and there's no problem with it. And there's no being dirty that's greater than when you wake up in the morning without washing Nagel Vasser, because the halacha is, because of the Ruach Tuma, that you're not allowed to touch your eyes, you're not allowed to touch your ears, your mouth, your nose, and therefore you're obviously considered dirty in some metaphysical respect, and therefore, of course, you're allowed to wash your hand. Yad lepeh tiktzatz, it has to be cut off. Mishum bas melech v'shifta dahacha, shifta dahacha inyan acher. So Rabbeinu Tam says that what we're talking about here is not the ruach ra that's on your hand. We're talking about something else entirely. Sheshora la ochel. It's the ruach ra that's on the food. Somehow the ruach ra could cause the child to choke unless you wash your hands at that time. Afal pisha kvar natlan shachris. Even though you already washed Nathilas Yadayim by Shachris. In other words, it's not only somebody, says Rabbi Natam, it's not only somebody who's feeding a baby who needs to do Nathilas Yadayim on Yom Kippur. It's everybody who needs to do Nathilas Yadayim on Yom Kippur. It's even after you've done Nathilas Yadayim, before you feed a baby, you have to do Nathilas Yadayim again. Says Rabbi Natam, how come today we wash Nathilas Yadayim in the morning, then later on in the day, whenever we're feeding our kids, you never see anybody wash their hands again, so whatever happened to this practice? It obviously has to be, says Rabbeinu Tam, that this Ruach Ra is not Shore anymore nowadays, just like there were a lot of other things that the Gemara talks about, how they were so careful about certain other things that we see we're not careful about today. For example, leaving water or wine uncovered in a barrel. So it used to be in the Gemara always says that you don't eat it, you don't drink it the next day because we're afraid that maybe a nachash or an akrov went into it. We're not afraid of that nowadays. The Gemara also talks all about zugos and how you're not allowed to eat pairs of stuff or drink pairs of kosas of wine, and we're not afraid of that also. So too, we're not afraid of this. So anyway, machloka, Rashi tells us what the shift is. Is it the Ruach Ra on the hands, or is it the Ruach Ra on the food? But either way, you're allowed to wash your hands before you give food to a child on Yom Kippur. Says the Gemara Navaiter, fourth wide line, Tana Rabbana, middle of the line, Aholeich la'akbil p'nei aviv. If a person is going on Yom Kippur to greet his father, oh, p'nei rabba, or to greet his Rebbe, oh, p'nei misha gadol mimenu, or somebody who's greater than him, even if it's not his Rebbe, over al tzavaro b'mayim v'ena choshesh. So he's allowed to go up until his neck in water, and he doesn't have to be choshesh. Iboy lehu, harav etzel ha-talmud mai. Ah, so you told me that a Talmud, if he wants to go visit his Rebbe, he's allowed to go up to his neck in water. How about if the Rebbe wants to visit his Talmud, is he allowed to go up to his neck in water? So tashma, diyam rav yisluk, barbar chana, ana, chazise, liziiri, I saw ziiri, da'azal lagabe rabchia barashi, Talmidei, that he saw Rav Chia Bar Ashi Talmidei, that he went to his Talmud. So Rav Ashi Amar, Hahu Rav Chia Bar Ashi Hu, Dazal Agabe Ziri, Rabbe. No, it wasn't Ziri who was going to his Talmud, it was the Talmud who was going to the Rebbe. So you ask me, what about the Talmud going to the Rebbe? What about a Rebbe going to the Talmud? We tried to bring a Raya, but the Maisa was messed up, because that wasn't a Maisa of the Rebbe going to the Talmud. That was a Maisa of the Talmud going to the Rebbe. So says the Gemara, Rava Shara Levnei, Rava permitted his children Avor Yemine Lamavar Bamaya Linaturi Peire. He Levnei Avor Yemine, Rava rather would permit the Bnei Avor Yemine, the people who lived in Avor Yemine, to go cross through water in order to guard their peiros. So Amar Le Abaya La Rava Tana De Misayelecha. Shomrei Peros over in Al Tzavar and B'mayim Ve'enechoshen, that Shomrei Peros, if they have some place to be and there is a body of water that's in between them and where they need to get to, they could wait in the water up until their necks and they don't have to be choshesh. Rav Yosef Shorulu Levnei Beitarvu Lemevar B'maya Lemese Lepirka, that he used to let them go through, wade through the water in order to go hear the shear on Yom Kippur, but Lemezel Lo, but he wouldn't let them walk through the water to go back home. Lemezel Lo Shorulu, that he wouldn't permit them on to go back home after the shear. So in that case, you're going to be machshel them. They're not going to go hear the shear next time. Because if you're telling them that they're allowed to wade in water in order to go to the shear, but they're not allowed to wade in water to come back, so you're basically telling them if you want to go hear the shear, you're not allowed to go back home. The next time, they're not going to go hear the shear. So what you're doing is not right. You have to tell them that they can go and they could come back. This is the heter that the Altzola members have at least in America, that not only do they go on calls on Shabbos, but they also return from calls on Shabbos, because if you don't let them return, if you only say you could go, but you can't come back, nobody's going to want to go, because nobody's going to want to stay where they are the whole Shabbos. So, Ikadamri, Shorul Lemezel, Vishorul Lemezel. Others say, no, he was thinking about this already. He didn't want to be machshel them, and therefore he permitted them to go, and he permitted them to return. Amarle Abaye, and then said Abaye, was challenging him. Bishlam Lemezel Lechaye. I understand that you're permitting them to go is fine. It's one thing. El Lemezel, my time up. But why are you allowing them to return home? Says the Gemara, Kadei Shalotei Machshilin Lasid Lavo. Ah, so the reason is so that I'm not machshel them, because if I tell them that they're allowed to go, but they're not allowed to come back, then I know they're not going to go in the first place. So Rav Yehuda, Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, Havikaimi Aguda Dinar Papa. They were standing on the Guda Dinar. He changes the girsa to Paras. So Amabra Dechatzadad. Vavikoi Rami Bar Papa Mehach Gisa, and Rami Bar Papa was standing on the other side. Ramalu Kala, Ma Lameva Lamese Lagavaichu Lamishal Shmaita. So he's standing on the other side of the river. So he calls out to them, am I allowed to cross through the river in order to go hear Torah from you? Samar Le Rav Yehuda, Rav Shmuel, Damri Tavayu, over Uvavad Shalo Yotzi Yado Mitachas Chavetz Chaluko, that you're allowed to do it as long as you don't remove your hand from underneath the hem of your garment. And this is a chash of schita, because we're afraid otherwise, if your hands are free, you're going to come squeeze out the garment, which is wet. Ikadamri, Amarle Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yehuda, Tanina. So others say that the way this conversation went was that Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda said, Tanina, we learned, over Uvavachla Yosi Yoda Metachas Chafetz Chaluko, that you're allowed to cross so long as you don't take your hand out from underneath the hem of your garment. So Maskul Rav Yosef, Uvachol Ki Aigavna Mishari. Hang on a second. We're talking about Yom Kippur and crossing through deep bodies of water. Is it even mutter to do that during the week? So Vachsi Vayamad Elef Ba'ama Vayavarenu B'mayim Me'afasim. So Mikan Shemutter Lavar Alafasayim. I know that it's mutter to cross in water that's only deep until your ankles. Vayamad Elef Vayavarenu B'mayim Rabim Berchayim Mikan Shemutter Lavar Al Berchayim. That's how I know that I'm allowed to go through water even up to your knees. From here I know that it's mutter to void in water up until your waist. However, you're not allowed to walk in water that's more than waist high because we're afraid of the danger. So how could it be that in all these cases we're talking about people walking up until their necks in water, if otherwise over here we have a heter to go until the ankles, until the knees, until the waist, but not higher? So says the Gemara, Amar Abaye, Shani Nachal Derudifei Maya. Nachal is different because it's flowing water. So in other words, that it's when it's flowing water, it's much more dangerous, and therefore when it's flowing, you're certainly not allowed to go up until your neck because we're afraid the current is going to carry you away. However, when it's standing water, then you're allowed to go in even up until your neck. Says the Gemara, Yachol Yavarena Besichui. We figured that maybe you would be able to cross the water by swimming. So in other words, it seems the picture that the Gemara is painting for us is that somebody is literally wading in to the water and he's walking. And either the water is coming until his knees or his waist or his neck, whatever it is, but he's walking across. How come we don't talk about swimming across? I would think maybe the guy could go swim across the water. Tamalomar Kigo Amayim Mesachu. My meisachu. What does it mean? Meisachu? So shiuta. It means swimming. Shekan korin l'shayata saicha. So we see that so we see from here that you're not allowed to swim, but it was a stream that couldn't be crossed. In other words, because it was because of the current in the stream, you couldn't cross it by swimming. That's why we're not talking about swimming. We only talk about walking across the water, because whenever there's a swift current, you have to make sure that you're firmly grounded and planted in order to make sure that you're not swept away. I might think that you're allowed to cross it in a small type of raft or a boat. So it says, no, you can't cross it in that manner. I might think, okay, well, if it's such a swift current and it's so dangerous, and maybe cross it in the big boat. That even a big boat cannot cross it. So my mashma, you know, what did we learn from here? How do we know this? Rabbi Yosef, do not cross it in a sfina of tzayadim, uvavurni rabasi, lo tiguzena, and do not traverse it in a big boat. So Amar Rav Yehuda ben Pazi, af malach hamaves ein l'rishus lavar betocho, that even the malach hamaves doesn't have rishus to pass the stream, to go through the stream. Ksiv acha bal telech bo ani shayot, v'ksiv asam mishum mishot ba'aretz. And it says over there, mishot ba'aretz. So from here we learn that even the malach hamaves doesn't have the ability to traverse the water. So let's learn a little bit more because we have some time, and tomorrow is also a long daf with a shorter shiur. Some Rav Pinchas Mishum Rav Huna Tzufura Ma'ayan Ayotzim Beis Kotshei HaKotshim, that the Ma'ayan that emanates from the Kotshei HaKotshim, that originates from the Kotshei HaKotshim, B'tchila Doma L'Karnei Chagavim. First, it's like a very, very, very small drip of water. It's like the horns of like the antenna of a grasshopper. Given Shagila Pesachechal Nasek a Chut Shel Shasi. Then it widens, and now it's like as big as a Chut Shel Shasi, because they used to weave with like the warp and the weft. So this is as big as one of the threads of weaving. Given Shagila Ulam Nasek a Chut Shel Arev. It was even bigger. Given Shagila Pesach Hazara Nasek Kefi Pach Katan. When it got to the Pesach Hazara, in other words, the stream kept building. Building koach, the more it would flow, then it was like the opening of a small bottle. Behind Uditnan, Rabbi Lazar ben Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov Omer, rather, that Mayim Mefachim Asidim Lios Yotzim Mitachas Miftan, that a flask of water is eventually going to emanate from underneath the threshold Abayis, Mikan Ve'elech. And it's going to be called it a flask because, again, when it got out to the Beis HaMikdash, it was like the size of a small bottle opening. But from Mikan Ve'elech, Hayim is Gabra Ve'olach HaMegiel HaPesach Beis David. That from then on, it would grow stronger and stronger, and the current would grow swifter and more powerful until it reached the Pesach Beis David. Kivan Shemegiel HaPesach Beis David, Natsa Kanat Al Shotev, Shabo Roksin, Zavim Vezavos, Nidas Ve'yoldos. And once it got to the Pesach Beis David, over there it was a really flowing stream, very vigorous, and in there, Zavim, Zavos, Nidos, and Yoldos were able to bathe in the mikvah. Shenemra, Be'yamu, Yemekor, Niftach LeBeis David, Uliosh Ve'lishlaim, Lechatos, Ulanida. Amrav Yosef, Mikan Remez Lenida, Shetzricha Leishev, Al Tzavara, Bemayim. From here we learn that a nida has to sit in her neck, up until her neck, in water, because it talks about the nida and the yoledas bathing in this. However, the halacha does not accord with Rav Yosef. So we know that that the main mikvah doesn't have to be up to the neck, up to the height of the neck when the woman is standing. It just has to contain enough water so that, including the water displacement, it's enough to cover the body. And it's ama ba'ama berom ama. So that's what it means. And Rabbeinu Tam says it doesn't mean that she has to stand in the water up until her neck. It means that when she sits down in the mikvah, there's enough water so that it's covering her entire body. In any event, from here we learn, again, why are we talking about any of this? We're talking about the Isra of Rechitza, the Inner of Rechitza, and crossing water, and then we talk about how high you're allowed to cross the water. Why don't you swim? Why don't you take a boat? And then we talk about the water that emanated from the Beis HaMikdash. Started out a small trickle, then by the time it got to Pesach Beis David, it was a vigorous flowing stream, deep enough so that people were able to be tovel in it. All right, so we'll stop here, and we will pick up with the last skinny line on Ayin Chesem and Aleph in tomorrow's shiur, God willing. Hope everybody has a very easy and a meaningful fast.